Radio Prague News.
Education Minister Josef Dobeš has offered a concession on controversial plans to introduce college tuition. Doctors' unions are assessing the performance of an agreement on pay rises negotiated with the health ministry last year. And the Anti-Corruption Endowment has filed criminal charges against the Minister of Labor and Social Affairs, Jaromír Drábek, on suspicion of public orders made without tenders. Education Minister Josef Dobeš has offered a concession on controversial plans to introduce college tuition. Speaking to reporters on Monday, Mr. Dobeš said that he would offer to maintain free basic bachelor's and master's degree programs if fees are raised on additional and secondary studies. At present, students are offered 4- and 6-year bachelor's and master's degree studies for free, with the option of extending 1 year. Under the education minister's new plan, the first 3 and 5 years, respectively, would be covered by the state. Fees for those who study multiple college programs would increase by 10 times, up to 26,000 crowns per year. The original plan called for tuition of up to 10,000 crowns per semester, with the option of student loans. That, however, has come under heavy criticism from students, the opposition, and even the minister's own public affairs party. Doctors' unions meeting to assess the performance of pay rises negotiated with the health ministry last year say they will give the government 2 months to resolve the situation. Insisting that the agreed 10% rise be respected, the unions say they will discuss a protest at their April Congress. Early last year, hospital doctors threatened to resign en masse if the ministry did not raise their salaries by 10%. At the end of 2011, however, the health minister reneged on the agreement, citing the poor economic situation, and promised a 6.25 increase. Since then, doctors' salaries have been raised only in certain state hospitals. Hospitals in various regions are not paying the increase, citing a decrease in money from insurance companies. Mr. Heger says the hospitals have the money but are unwilling to raise the salaries. The Anti-Corruption Endowment has filed criminal charges against the Minister of Labor and Social Affairs, Jaromír Drábek, on suspicion of public orders made without tenders. The endowment's chairman, Karel Janeček, says that suppliers for a number of new programs at the ministry, such as payment information systems, were chosen without tenders and were companies close to the minister and his deputy, against whom they have also brought charges. The organization adds that the new systems were created in spite of the fact that it would have been more economical to modify the old software. Unions have said the transfer to the new systems was, moreover, poorly prepared and that the computer system did not work. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be cloudy with scattered showers and daytime highs of around 7 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Sarah Borufka. In today's program, we have for you the finance minister tells Czechs to brace for a succession of lean years. We bring you all the latest from the world of sports. And then later on in the program, we talk to Hanna Kulhanková, who is the director of the One World Film Festival, which starts here in Prague on March 6th.
So I have been saying for last 2 weeks that I really want the festival to start. So I think I'm going to be really happy on the 6th of March when the festival starts.
All that coming up, so do stay with us. Although the Czech government has refused to sign up to the EU's fiscal discipline pact, frugality has become the order of the day, and the finance minister has warned the nation that come what may, fiscal discipline will be observed in the interest of bringing the country's public finances under control. On Monday, the cabinet's economic ministers are meeting to debate austerity measures for 2013, which far surpass those previously undertaken. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
Economic crisis or not, Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek is determined to adhere to his plan of gradually reducing the gap in public finances to 3.2% of the GDP this year, 2.9% next year, 1.9% in 2014, and securing a balanced budget by 2016. So while Czechs are still getting used to forking out more money for goods, services and medical treatment, the Finance Minister is preparing a set of austerity measures that will make this year's price hikes look like a warm-up for the trials to come. Falling economic growth and lower tax revenues have led the finance minister to revise his calculations for this and the coming years. This year, ministries and public institutions will have to save another 24 billion crowns from the money they were promised. Ministries will be required to further cut operational costs, and some are even considering lowering employees' wages. The austerity measures planned for 2013 are targeted to save 42 billion crowns from state coffers and a staggering 84 billion crowns in 2014. If the minister has his way, the cost cuts will affect each and every citizen, from newborns to seniors, the rich and the poor. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek.
Such far-reaching changes would not be possible without legislative amendments, amendments to the social sphere and to the tax system.
The proposal on the table includes a unified 20% VAT. Presently, the country has a dual VAT rate of 14 and 20%. A raise in individual taxes from the present 15% to 16%, higher taxes for people making over 100,000 crowns a month, a freeze on old age pensions for a period of 3 years, and no more maternity grants. Even the minister's coalition partners, who will be asked to raise their hands in favour of the austerity measures, admit the proposed reforms are exceptionally tough. Zbigniew Stanjura from the Civic Democrats is cautious in taking a stand.
The proposed reforms are debatable. It is clear they will be extremely unpopular, but they may have to be undertaken.
While higher taxes for the rich and a 1% hike in individual taxes may win approval, there is likely to be a fierce battle over the unified 20% VAT rate, which would send the price of food, now in the 14% bracket, soaring. The opposition Social Democrats have denounced the proposed changes as socially unacceptable. Jeroným Tejc is head of the party's parliamentary group.
This is a cynical present from the finance minister, stemming from his inability to collect taxes. Everyone is being asked to pay for it, especially those living on a very small income.
The opposition may rant against the proposed measures, but is likely to have little say in it. The battle will be fought amongst the three parties of the coalition government, who together have a strong majority in parliament. Despite furious rows in the past, they have so far managed to push through important reforms and are strongly motivated to see them through. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek says he is open to any debate, except a debate on the overall figure that needs to be saved.
What I am not prepared to accept is a softening of the austerity measures. There is a lot that can be changed, but the resulting measures must be such that together they will save the necessary finances and allow us to meet our set goals in reducing the gap in public finances.
Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek there giving a very clear statement on austerity measures that will need to be taken. Daniela Lazarova brought you that report. And of course, if you have any opinion on austerity measures in the Czech Republic or across Europe in general, we would be very glad if you joined the discussion on our Facebook page. Now let's make a jump from finances straight into sport. Jan Wellinger brings you the latest sports news.
Mm. And we begin first with some of the football results. Mladá Boleslav have pulled even with Viktoria Plzeň at 34 points, 9 fewer than league leader Sparta Prague. So they are currently in fourth spot, just behind Viktoria Plzeň in third. At the weekend, Plzeň, the defending champion, started well against Dukla but only managed a 1-1 draw. Dukla scored after Plzeň goalkeeper Marek Čech mishandled the ball. In other action, Liberec moved to within 3 points of the league leaders with a 2-0 win over Příbram, while Sparta slipped against Hradec Králové, losing 1-0 and failing to earn a point. Slavia Prague, in 11th spot, plays later on Monday. And a recap now. Of course, many fans will recall that last Thursday, Viktoria Plzeň lost 3-1 to the German Bundesliga side Schalke 0-4 in overtime, that in UEFA's Europa League. The Czech team earned a late equalizer in the 88th minute when Czech midfielder František Rajtoral took advantage of a failed clearance attempt by Schalke to score. The first leg of the last 16 match had also ended 2-1 in regular time, setting up last Thursday's dramatic finish in Germany. Unfortunately, the Czech club allowed 2 goals in extra time, bringing to an end a highly respectable run. In the autumn, the Czech league champions took part in their first ever Champions League group stage, facing football giants Barcelona and AC Milan, as well as Belarus's Bate Borisov. In that competition, the team earned 5 points. In other football news, Czech midfielder and captain of the national squad, Tomáš Rosický, broke a 2-year-long Premier League scoring drought on Sunday in Arsenal's win over Tottenham. Rosický's Arsenal fell behind early in the game and were losing 2-0 before they began to mount a terrific comeback. Sagna and Van Persie helped level the match before Rosický put his side ahead early in the second half. At the same time, Rosický suffered a back injury in the match, which ended 5-2, striking him from the national squad roster as the team faces Ireland in a friendly. Jiří Steiner, who plays for Liberec, has been nominated in his place. Turning to hockey now, Czech club Vítkovice have qualified for the playoffs, narrowly avoiding an extra elimination round. The club, in its final match of the regular season, defeated Třinec by a score of 5-3. In other action, Slavia won 3-2 over Sparta in a game which came down to deciding penalties. Despite the loss, Sparta are the season champions, finishing with 107 points, well ahead of second place HC Plzeň 1929.
All the latest sports news were brought to you by Jan Wellinger. Thank you very much for that, Jan. And now, in this week's edition of our interview program One-on-One, I speak to Hanna Kulhankova, who is the director of the One World Film Festival, which kicks off in Prague very soon. Film has played an important role in Hanna Kulhankova's life ever since she was a teenager. Later, she studied film and worked at the Mezipatre Queer Film Festival, which showcases gay and lesbian filmmakers. Now, Hanna Kulhankova is the director of one of Prague's most colorful and interesting film festivals, One World, which focuses on human rights documentaries. Ahead of the start of this year's edition, I spoke to her about the festival program, human rights, and what initially piqued her interest in film.
So for me, it was really a long time ago. I think it was even during my high school years. And I think it was thanks to the ČT2 programming, because when I was in high school, there were these special Monday and Thursday club films. So I was able to see, films from Buñuel or Bresson and all these really big filmmakers, and I was really excited always watching these films in my bedroom. So I think it was really the beginning of my interest in film in general. And then after high school, I had a chance to be in US for a year as an au pair, and I was an au pair for P. Adam Sidney, who is a famous film theoretician and historian of avant-garde cinema. So that was my really introduction to a different genre of films in more like professional level. And then I started studying film theory and history and at the university in Brno. So that was kind of like a gradual. I'm still doing it till nowadays, so I'm like really excited about it.
And is queer film something you're especially interested in?
It still is, because with like queer films, I really got introduced to this like genre or field when I was studying in Germany, because we had some film topics on queer film, and I was really able to see lots of stuff. And then I joined the Mezipatra Film Festival, which is a queer film festival. I think that it's like very important topic, and I'm also trying to bring these topics to the One World Festival. So, for example, this year we are showing a really great film, which is called I'm a Woman Now, which is about very old trans women who had their sex surgery in the 70s and 80s, and now they are really like old ladies, and they are kind of talking about their past life and today's life, because they have never imagined that, you know, they would be old ladies. So that's really nice.
That sounds really interesting. And maybe to go back a bit, can you talk a bit about your time at Mezipatra and what your experience was as the organizer of this festival?
During my university studies, I always felt that only learning is not enough for me. So I always wanted to be involved in something, be more active. And I really get a chance to join the Mezipatra team, where I was first in charge of like film selection, and then I was a director of Mezipatra. The experience was really nice, because it was a very small team of people. Lots of my like university friends worked or volunteered for Mezipatra, and we were really able to organize this festival with very small budget on like very small scale. But during my years with Mezipatra, we also moved from Brno to Prague. And nowadays, it's really a big festival, which is bringing very famous queer theoreticians or filmmakers. Like this year, they brought Todd Haynes, who is like really famous American director. So from like very small and like amateur years, now it's really a professional festival. And I'm really happy for that.
That's, of course, nice to see it grow like that. And you know about queer issues and about homosexuality, not only from this theoretical point of view. Yourself are lesbian. Some of our listeners will know this. How would you say, does Czech society react towards gay and lesbian individuals? And has there been any development in acceptance of queer individuals over, I don't know, the past decade?
I think there is definitely a chance in one way, in more like tolerant way, because we have a registered partnership law, which is still not equal to marriage law. So there is discrimination involved in this registered partnership itself. I think it's really an individual thing, how you like see yourself and how much you are really sensitive into if society is hateful or not hateful. I see Czech society as really conservative and kind of like really looking only at stuff that concerns them, and they are not, I think Czechs are not very much interested in like more and complicated issues. But from my experience, for example, now I'm really in the process that I want to get involved in the queer issues much more, in more like activistic way. Because, for example, there isn't a law in Czech Republic if you have a partner and this partner has a child, for example, your girlfriend. So there is no legal way that you can be the second parent of the child. So it really creates this kind of instability in relationships. And I think it's not good for the society as a whole.
You now are working as the director of the One World Festival, have been working for the festival for a while, and that focuses on human rights documentaries. How did you first become involved in One World?
My story is really basic. I applied for a job. So I started, I think it was 8 years ago, as a guest service coordinator. So and then I was involved in production of the festival. Then I was executive director when Igor Blažević was still the director of the festival. So it was like really like a basic start at the festival, but it really kind of helped me to understand really different like levels of organizing of the festival. So yeah, that's good.
Were you initially already interested in human rights, and maybe what have you learned over all these years of organizing a human rights focused festival about the issue of human rights?
I think that One World, it really combines like many of my interests, my interest in films, my interest in human rights, and my interest in organizing. So I'm like really lucky that One World combines all this. Yeah, and I can say that thanks to One World, I really get a chance to meet very great people, either filmmakers or people from characters from the documentary films. And it is also like opening my horizons on topics that, for example, I haven't known about before, or some problems that people have in different countries. So for me, it's a really like positive experience every year when I come over to like some documentary films that are really like very strong and very emotional. And then when it happens that we are able to screen it at the festival, that's a really good happy end.
And how does the process of choosing films work? You must see a ton of movies ahead of the festival. How do you deal with that?
It's really like a very long and intensive process. It takes about half a year. When we are selecting from around like 1,600 films, and we are like a small team of people who pre-select films, and then the final selection committee, we really go over all the films that are submitted to the festival, and also the films that we bring from different festivals that we visit during the year. And it's really exciting because always like at the beginning, we kind of state what kind of topics we are looking for. And then it's really exciting to see if we have enough films to really create it as a thematic category or if there are like different films on different topics that really hold together and we can include them in the festival.
And you have also now editions in other countries. You've gone international. How important is this aspect to you, and how did it maybe come about?
So I would say that One World from its beginnings is really very open to international cooperation. Even like our know-how, we are really happy to share it with other organizers. And so, for example, the latest festival that we helped to establish is actually a festival in Iraq, which is happening right now. It's the first edition of Baghdad Eye International Human Rights Film Festival in Iraq. So I'm really excited about it and looking forward to see how it goes. And I think it's really for us it's really important to kind of transfer our know-how or give our know-how to organizers or groups of people who are really excited about human rights and need a little bit of guidance at the beginning, which is okay for us to really kind of introduce them to the topics, to the whole like festival market, to some filmmakers. And then it's really up to the local organizers how they set the festival, how they create the theme, what kind of topics they show and so on.
And this year's Prague edition of One World, the main event, is coming up, of course, in March. Maybe you can talk a bit about this year's theme, which is protests, upheaval, revolutions. It's also taking place a year after the Arab Spring. So maybe you can present some of the program for us.
I'm really excited that we are able to have this thematic category on revolts and revolution all around the world. And from the beginning, we were really looking for the films from the Arabic countries, but also for films from democratic countries, because we wanted to combine the films and really see if there are any links or like differences between different protests or like issues that people are involved in these countries. So I'm really happy that, for example, we'll be seeing films not only from Egypt and Syria, but also from Yemen, from Libya, but also, for example, a very interesting film on a crisis in Greece, or in a film that deals with recent protests in Japan, when Japanese people are protesting against Fukushima, I think that happened a while ago.
And lastly, what are your hopes for this year's festival? And maybe when will you be very happy? At which point of the festival will you be very happy or relieved?
So I have been saying for last 2 weeks that I really want the festival to start. So I think I'm going to be really happy on the 6th of March when the festival starts. And then really every day brings like so many exciting points, because we really meet so many interesting people. We are able to talk to the audience. We are able to really hear people's talks during the panel debates and Q&As. And yeah, so it's going to be, I think, very many exciting days.
Michael Hankova, the director of the One World International Human Rights Film Festival, was speaking to Radio Prague in this week's edition of One on One. And now we will round off our regular weekday program with our popular Czech language learning series ABC, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Welcome to Radio Prague's program in which we examine the Czech language from head to toe, or in other words, we look at idioms which refer to parts of the body. Today's topic is teeth. The Czech word for tooth is
zub,
and the plural is
zuby.
In idioms, teeth often symbolize aggression, such as to fight tooth and nail.
Zuby nechty.
When animals bare their teeth, they usually want to demonstrate how strong and dangerous they are. In Czech, to bare your teeth,
ukázat zuby,
means to let other people know you can bite. An internationally recognized idiom which needn't be explained is
oko za oko, zub za zub,
or an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Another phrase which is similar in both Czech and English is
po zuby ozbrojený,
or armed to the tooth. The expression
dát někomu do zubů
means to punch somebody in the mouth. If that happens to you and you do not want to show you are in pain, you have to
zatnout zuby,
grit your teeth, or keep a stiff upper lip. You may also want to
držet jazyk za zuby,
literally to hold your tongue behind your teeth, or simply keep your mouth shut. But teeth idioms are also connected with eating. So, if you are looking for
něco na zub,
you want to find a bite to eat. Another idiom originally connected with eating or food is
mít něčeho plné zuby,
or to be fed up to the back teeth. The Czech expression
brousit si zuby
means to sharpen your imaginary teeth in order to sink them into something. Languages also use teeth idioms to refer to health, age or quality.
Darovanému koni na zuby nehleď
means don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Podívat se něčemu na zoubek,
literally to look something at its little tooth, means to look deeper into something, to examine it. When talking about something very old and falling apart, like buildings or works of art, Czechs say they have been damaged by
zub času,
the tooth of time or ravages of time. For living things, the ultimate impersonation of the tooth of time is
zubatá,
literally a large tooth person, better known in English as the Grim Reaper. And on that rather macabre note, we end today's Czech language program. Until next time,
naschledanou.
Take care.
Pavla Horáková with ABC wrapped up Radio Prague's English show for today. Of course, all our programs and others are also available at our internet address radio.cz, and we also have a Facebook page, so if you want to join us there, we'd be more than happy. And if you have any comments, we are always pleased to hear them. If not on Facebook, you can also contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by good old-fashioned snail mail to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. As always, everything you've heard in the program can be found on our website, and there you can also sign up for a free news email or use our podcasting. We'll talk to you, of course, again tomorrow, but until then, from me, Sarah Borůvka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and bye-bye.